Okay, Genesis chapter 22. I need you to go to Luke 14. Luke 14 and verse 26. I'm going to take some extra time. We've got to get through this chapter. I wish we'd get through the next one. The next one's very short. We'll see. Luke 14, 26. John.
If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Wow. Now here's a...
I wish anybody else wouldn't be funny.
In this chapter, we're going to study one of the most well-known tests that God ever gave to anybody. This is the test of Abraham's faith, where he has to actually lose his son at his own hand. It's a test of his faith in the matter of offering Isaac as a burnt offering. This episode stands as an eternal picture of the mercies of God. You wouldn't think so, but it is also the most beautiful picture of God offering his son, Jesus, as an atonement for sin. You know, God didn't follow through on this. God sometimes puts us through trials and we think this is the end. And the Lord says, no, I'm just going to use your life as an example to others. Name me somebody else in the Bible where somebody had such a horrible thing happen to him and it wasn't for him. Job. It was for us. So Job's going, why God? And the Lord's answered basically, I ain't telling you. It's in the original. He basically says, you wouldn't understand if I could tell you. You weren't there when I made everything. There's no way I could explain everything. So he allows and puts his people through things for bigger answers than just, you know, ourselves. This offering is in stark contrast to the one made by Jephthah in Judges 11, where Jephthah spoke before he thought. In so doing, he made a vow before God. And this offering made by Abraham was instigated by God and was acceptable unto him. So this is God making a picture here. And God is asking Abraham, Jephthah says, I'll give you whatever comes out of the door of my tent. And it happens to be his daughter, and he has to actually kill her. Jephthah lived with the foolishness of his vow the remainder of his life. Abraham lived the remainder of his life knowing that he was obedient unto the will of God and was simply believing the promises of God. So here's our first thing. It's the test of faith. Genesis 22, 1 to 14, John, if you'll do that verses.
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son.
Wow.
And he took the fire in his hand, and the knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Mm. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Here's a test of faith. After the events of chapter 21, God calls on Abraham. And in the latter portions of this past chapter, Abraham dug a well and planted a grove in Beersheba. It was there he called the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And by planting that vineyard, a beautiful picture presented, Abraham is putting down his roots. He's starting to, and he's no longer traveling and a wanderer. And the everlasting God made an everlasting covenant with him. And he's basically saying, this land belongs to me and my family. And he's starting to realize, this is my place. God calls now on Abraham again. And you know, as it is in the Christian life, it seems like there's one thing after another. You think, just when you're getting comfortable, God asks you to do something that's uncomfortable. No sooner had Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael out of his life than he has problems with Abimelech. Just as he got that misunderstanding lined out, God calls him to make a journey that will test his faith every step of the way. I'm saved 33 years, and it has never gotten easier.
It's harder.
Yeah, I don't know about harder. It's just different. It never backs off. It's always a stretch. Sometimes it's harder, but it's not always harder. It doesn't always get harder. I don't want to freak everybody out saying, boy, the longer I'm saved, the harder it gets. Not just that. It's just always hard. You kind of sometimes sit back and you go, man, I'm 33 years saved. I should have it down pat. I should know exactly what to do. I should have a verse for every situation. I should have faith for every disaster, and I don't. So Abraham now is just experiencing what we all do. Now here's the trying of Abraham's faith in James chapter 1 in verse 12. Let's see, Adalberto, would you read that?
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him that love him.
Wow. So he got to endure the temptations. God called Abraham, and notice how obediently Abraham answered. Here I am. Abraham had learned many hard lessons, and by now, he is humble, and he possesses a willing spirit. This is going to be very interesting here in a moment. The past difficulties he survived, prepared him for this great test. Never forget that whatever you've been through is for today. Mm-hmm. He did not know what God was going to say to him, but he knew it'd be all right. That's why, instead of, what did Abraham say when God came looking for him? Adam! Did Adam pop out and says, here am I? Is that what Adam did? Adam had no idea how to trust God. Adam started with no faith. He started off, he says, I'm in trouble. He's gone. Abraham, as soon as God calls, Abraham says, I'm here. Present and accounted for, sir. There are times when God tested people in their faith. One is Job. Remember these, folks? Yeah. Remember when Peter's faith was tested at the crucifixion? Remember that every Christian's faith is tested by the world. This is not cruel. Most unbelievers come to portions of the Bible and they just their heart stops and they go, I mean, wow, look at what God is asking. Look, a burnt sacrifice? Isaac's going to be burnt. Look what God is asking him to do. And they see it as cruel, but this is not cruel. It's the only way our faith is to be proven and even for it to become strong. Most people are effeminate. They will not allow their children to fall out of trees. They will not let them to break their hands, their arms. They won't let them get scratched up. They won't let them get into fights. By the time you're 12, you should be in at least in a dozen fights. And you should be learning how to beat the devil out of somebody who is punching you. I believe with all my heart. And you ought to be Christian and try to love your enemy. But you need to know life. You don't sit there and sit at mommy's lap all day, every day until you're 24. And then you go and you get a wife. You're an effeminate wimp. So, it makes me just discouraged. Thinking about, you know, when you go and you go soul-winning and you knock on a door and you deal with a guy, and the only way for him to be masculine is for him to be drunk so that he can be different than his mom made him. And that bothers me. So the tests hurt. When you're going to be tested, your faith is always it's going to be stretched to where it hurts, and it does here. So it's not cruel. Number five, notice there's no bargaining as you're filling, bargaining. When God told Abraham in chapter 18 what he intended to do in Sodom, Abraham immediately interceded for the cities. He's caring about his nephew, Lot, and he's saying, Lord, are you going to do, there must be lots of righteous people in there. He's caring about a city. Wouldn't he care about his son? I want my son to live, Lord. Lord, can it be another son? Can I go get Ishmael? Can't it be? Why doesn't Abraham intercede for his son here? There's no bargaining. See, God specifically said, give him back. There is something that every one of us is going to face or is facing. Maybe we have, but it's never finished. Where God goes and we know exactly there's no debate here. God wins. And Abraham knew there's no bargaining. I believe Abraham and Sarah probably had a few words about this. She's scared. He says, sweetheart, Isaac and I, we'll be back in a week or so. Man, a good woman will say, okay. All right. And Sarah's a good woman, but I bet she said, where are you going? I'm not telling you. Because I don't know exactly. What's going to happen with Isaac? I can't tell you. I mean, wow. You talk about faith. She's letting her husband take their son away, and the things going through her mind, and don't disasters go through a woman's mind before blessings? A woman will always imagine the worst before she'll imagine, oh, they're just going to go camping. Not at all. So I can imagine, but thankfully she's a woman of faith and she just lets them go. What a thing. Abraham's grieved. God told him not to be grieved. It was not until God told him not to be grieved that he sent the two on their way. So, however, in this particular situation, Abraham made no intercessions. And that's talking about the two angels. However, this particular situation, Abraham made no intercessions. He did not tell anyone where he was going. He did not immediately tell anyone what they would do once they arrived. What did he actually say back there in... I think it's one of the most amazing verses of faith. In verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and what? Okay, so he's got a concept of worship that is bigger than ours. We're going to church. No, he's going to go worship. Abraham kept all these things in his heart. He knew that as the head of the household, he would be the one to slay his only son. Knowing all of this, Abraham continued on the way doing what God called him to do. What's going to cost you to serve God? What does it cost you to serve the devil? You think about that before you got saved. Think about all the things it cost you. It nearly cost me my life, cost me my friend's life, nearly cost, you know, lawsuits and things like that, where if I had crashed into somebody else and racing. You think about what it cost you to live against God. What's it going to cost you to serve God? Because Abraham kept all these things under himself and didn't ask anyone what they thought about it, is a classic example of how he typifies the Father. Does God ever ask you for permission? Does God ever usually explain what he's doing in your life? You know, Abraham didn't explain anything. He just says, we're going to go worship. And God sometimes just says, just you and I, let's spend some time together. I want you to do thus and thus. And you go, but Lord, why? The Lord says, I'm God. I don't explain things, but I do things well. So across the endless ages of eternity past, God knew exactly what he's going to do. However, knowing what he would do and how it would be done would not deter him from his plan. Isaiah 46:11 says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. I may call a bird. I may bring a man. It doesn't matter. I'm going to bring things to pass. That's my point. God was willing to bargain with Abraham over a multitude of useless Sodomites. And he was willing to bargain with... God was willing to bargain with Rahab the harlot. But not even the pleading of his only beloved son would change his heart and mind about Calvary. God's direction. Once again, Abraham is on a journey of blind faith. God told him once before they had come into the land. Before that, he had come into the land. He wanted to give him that he had some land. He wanted to give to Abraham. Abraham probably asked, "Where is this land?" And God replied, "You will know when you're there." Somebody, I get people asking me, how many times have people asked me, "When will I know whether she's the right girl?" You'll know. I mean, I can't say. I mean, you have a checklist of things that sort of narrow the thing down. But in the end, you're just going to have to say, okay.
She needs to be good looking to have plenty of money anyway. Part of the checklist, isn't it?
The mansion.
No. Silly boy.
Silly rabbit. Number D, B, here God told Abraham, "I will show you where you are to go and how to get there. All you need to do is make an early start." There's no hesitation. He didn't talk to anybody, and once God calls us to action, we do not need to confer with anyone. Paul said the same thing in Galatians 1. He says, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." God took him out for 3 years out to Arabia. Why should Paul ask someone else what they thought about what God wanted Paul to do? I've had people, I'll ask people, I says, "You ready to get baptized?" "Well, I'm praying about it."